This is Phil Farron. And I am driving home. It's Thursday today. I'm actually leaving a little early. I have put in enough time this week that I thought I'd take off a little early, go try to get done a few more things at home. We moved some databases last Saturday, and that was very exciting. We seem to have survived all of that. We're actually moving a database again tomorrow, so I'll be coming in on Friday, which is a little unusual. So I've got a little extra time there and stuff. And I'd gotten everything done today that I needed to get done, so I thought, you know what? I'm going home. So anyways, all the stuff at work is going fine. We're getting ready to launch into another round of business process investigation, which was not originally planned. But after we did the first round, there's another group that would like it done for them as well. So I'm probably going to be starting that shortly, and that should take me through the Christmas season and possibly through January. So it looks like I have work for another 3 months. So that's all going fine. The VaneWorks stand seems to be going fine. I've been puttering along, working and working and working on the website, and that's coming along. I'm doing some blog entries now. I still have some videos to shoot, but I finally decided that I was going to wait until I had the actual product to shoot some videos, which I'm hoping I will have actual product to play with after Monday, so I can start shooting videos on Monday to get that all taken care of. And then if that hits on Monday, the boxes are already in play. I'll talk about that again in a second. The mirrors are in play, and so it looks like if we have plastic product that doesn't need too many tweaks and we start getting them run this next week, that I'll be in good shape for starting to sell on November the 29th, which is the goal. So we'll see. I'll know a lot more after Monday morning. So if it is Monday morning that we shoot, I've got to talk to the injection molder tomorrow, see how he's coming along, how his deadlines are looking. And if he's, you know, coming along well and everything looks good, then we'll go Monday morning. So very exciting. The other exciting thing that happened this week as far as the project, it was exciting to me, is I had actually boxed up a couple of the stands and mailed them out to California, and an individual in California turned around, mailed them back. And when it came in a couple of days later than I was expecting, but that's okay. I got it. I opened up the box. Everything was fine. And so that was very exciting. Finally got to call the box guy and say, yes, everything's great, go. So that actually pushed his schedule a couple of days later, but you know what? Everything is just going to be just fine. And it looks like the boxes are in play. We should have boxes by the end of next week. And so those will all be in play. I need to write a note to the sheltered workshop guy and tell him I've still got him in mind. And it looks like maybe if everything keeps holding together on the schedules, maybe I'll be handing off to them on the 22nd, that Monday before Thanksgiving, seeing how many they can get put together before their Thanksgiving break. And then I think I'm going to try to put some together and see if a few friends want to help me put some together. And we'll just see how this goes. I think, you know, we're getting close. We're getting close. I'm not going to put any kind of more finalized dates on it until I've got plastic. Because that's kind of the big thing right now. It's like, oh, Jesus, oh, Jesus, oh, Jesus. because I've just never done this before. And so I'm kind of still waiting for the big hidden to see. The big hidden is something I call when you're doing a project and you actually launch the project and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, we didn't think of that. And it's that thing which is hidden from you until the moment it appears. And once it appears, you just have to scramble around and find an answer. I have done enough projects in my life and been through enough big deployments now that the big hidden is not something that I necessarily fear. It's just something that I'm not necessarily surprised by. And usually there's only one of them, so it's kind of nice to have it out of the way. So we'll see. We'll see. It will be just fine. The marketing side is going fine. There are things going on there that I'm not going to talk about for obvious reasons when I eventually talk about them. But it's very interesting. And as I've been saying all along, it's really been fulfilling and interesting. And while it would be nice to make a non-trivial amount of money off of this, there are other things that are already nicer than that. I've met some interesting people. I've learned some pretty interesting things. I've added to my abilities. And, you know, if we can sell a few of these, I've actually given work to some local businesses, which is cool. I like that. And it would be nice to supply some extra work to Springfield Workshop, which is a sheltered workshop for people who are challenged either physically or mentally. So that would be kind of cool. Actually be able to filter some work their way and help them provide a dignified work environment for their employees. It is episode 85 today, and I'm still reading through the book Your Creative Brain, and there's still a lot of interesting stuff in there I could talk about, but I just didn't feel like as I was reading through this week that that's what I wanted to talk about. As I'm in the crux and in the final stages of the project, I've been thinking about the whole thing of doing this project. I've been thinking about the definition that it brings to my life. And I've been kind of looking around, because I talked for several weeks about the project and about how you make certain decisions along the way, why you make the decisions. And I've been thinking about just generally philosophies of life. What, if you boil it all down, how do you want to be categorized in life? And understanding how you want to be categorized in life, does that make you more successful if you're categorizing yourself in the right way so that you can make better evaluations of what's going on around you and what you should do? And I think it should. One of the things that triggered some of this was the testimony of Elizabeth Smart this past week. For those of you who don't know, Elizabeth Smart is in her early 20s now. When she was 14, she was abducted by a man who had done some work on her parents' house, apparently had seen her at that point, and determined that she was going to be one of his wives, that he was determined to be in a polygamous relationship, and he had gone and tried to convince some other women that they should be his wives, and they had routinely turned him down. He had actually tried to force one woman to be his wife, and she managed to escape and promptly changed jobs. And so he had come to the point of abducting a 14-year-old girl. And as I was listening to Elizabeth Smart's testimony about this, I'm not going to relate all of the testimony simply because it's quite disturbing what was done to this 14-year-old girl. But what caught my attention was the justification that this man was using in his mind. And I'm sure some people heard the justification and said, See, there's just another example of how religious people are crazy, you know. Okay, well, no. I think there's another categorization that we can use for people like this man who abducted Elizabeth Smart that is broader than he's a religious person. And it is, in fact, this broader categorization that gives us a clue as to how to evaluate people's actions and how to determine if these are people that we necessarily want to be closely associated with. One of the things, there were several interesting points in her testimony, and I'll just pick a few out of the first day of testimony, because once you begin to see the pattern, you really don't have to rehearse the whole thing. So he's abducted this 14-year-old girl. He's trying to get her back to the camp, and at one point there's a police car that's nearby. So he shoves her down into the bushes, and then he starts praying. And he says something like, "If this is the work of God, then let this police car pass without finding us." What? You have just kidnapped a young girl out of her bed, and now you're praying that if this is the work of God. Yeah. So then he starts talking about, when he's getting on, I don't want to go into too much detail, but when he's getting ready to physically abuse her, and she suddenly realizes what he's going to do, you know, she was crying, and so to justify it, he's telling her, he's saying, I'm doing this by the power of the holy Melchizedek priesthood that I hold, and I seal you to me on this earth, and what is sealed here on earth will be sealed in the afterlife, and I take you to be my wife. Whoa! What? Whoa! Are you kidding? You know, and he's keeping her chained to the tree, and then he's trying to tell her, you know, you're very lucky because you're being saved from the world. That you've been called by God. He said that he had been called by God and instructed to do everything that he had been done up to that point. He was a prophet, and the Lord had taken him out of the world to begin preparing him for a day when he would re-enter the world out of obscurity and testify with great power and call the world to repentance for the preparation of the second coming of Jesus. Okay, you know, in the meantime, he's physically abusing this little girl. He's trying to get her drunk on alcohol. He's trying to get her to smoke. All these things, he's trying to break her down. Okay, well, you can look at that and you can say, well, how we categorize this is he's a religious person. And that's the reason that he's able to do this, because religion has made him nuts. Well, that's that's not really the way I categorize it. The way I categorize this guy is that he is a rabid consumer. That he is someone who believes that the world exists simply for him to consume it. That in his little world, he's the center. And everything else revolves around him. And I don't know about you, but I have actually met people like this. Now, thankfully, not to this extreme. But I was acquainted with one guy that he went pretty deep off the deep end. Really into this whole manifesto thing, writing about the end times and, you know, how God was preparing him to do this, and he was going to do this, and he was going to do that. And, you know, how his wife was, I don't know if he actually said possessed of the devil, but that was basically it, that she was stopping him from the ministry God had given him, and she should do this. And, you know, and you look on this from the outside, and sometimes people say, well, if they really believe that's what God has them doing, how can you dispute that's what God told them to do? And it's easy. Because God does not instruct us to be rabid consumers, to just be all caught up in ourselves and what we want and how we're going to get it, and to just trample all over it. Jesus never, ever in a million years gave us that advice. Treat your neighbor as you wish to be treated. Love your neighbor as yourself. You can't find anywhere in Scripture where Jesus says you should just run roughshod over people and you should just take what you want. And I'm going to call you and take you out into the wilderness and prepare you, so you have a right to just pull every resource that you want. Doesn't matter whether it's a human resource or just steal, kill, destroy, go out, so long as you survive. That's all that's important. That is never... That is never, ever God's plan. So it doesn't matter how deep you think you're in the Bible or what you've been called to. If you are focused towards no one else is more important than me and I'm just going to take what I want, you should step back a moment and think about it. Now, as opposed to being a person who is consumed with being a consumer, which will, of course, will consume you in the end, which is ironic. I have determined in my life that I wish to be a creator. That I wish to be a participant in this life and in this world. And I wish to create an environment of success for myself and for the people around me. And it doesn't matter whether they know Jesus or not. I'm not going to treat them any differently. I'm going to be a creator. I'm going to leave my mark on this world so that when I'm gone, I will have left the world richer than I found it. I will have invented things, written things, built things, fathered things, husbanded things. So that my wife knows that she's been loved. My daughter knows she's been loved. If the Lord tarries, my granddaughter knows she's been loved. I am going to live a life in this world that makes a difference. And if all that's going on in your life is consumption, it's going to be hard to do that. Sometimes we get a little bit upside down on all of this in Christian circles because we quote Paul and we says, well, Paul says that we should be in the world but not of it. Oh, that's right. It's Veterans Day today. That's, we don't have any mail. I was getting my mail. Did I say congratulations to all the veterans today? If I didn't say congratulations to all the veterans today, congratulations to all the veterans today. Thank you for your service. At some point, I may do a podcast on war and pacifism and all that kind of stuff. I don't think I'm smart enough yet to do that podcast. So I'm waiting to get smarter. And then hopefully someday I will be smart enough to do that. You know what? There is an envelope on the ground out here that I recognize as having my handwriting. And I don't know how that got there. So I'm going to pick that up. Anyways, so I think sometimes we get upside down on what we're supposed to be doing in this life. And we get upside down in a couple of ways. One is that we just keep waiting for Jesus to rescue us all the time. Because we're in the world, but not of the world. So we're just going to sit over here, and then whatever happens to us in life, God's just going to have to come rescue us. And second of all, we sometimes... I'm backing into my garage. We sometimes get upside down in the world by thinking that we're in the world, but not of the world. And we decide that we're not really going to participate. You know, whatever interfacing we do with the world, we're just going to kind of keep our head down. We're going to do our little job, and then we're just going to go home. And the only time we're going to find fulfillment or any of that kind of stuff is when we're sitting in church. And I am not of that opinion at all. My gig is, let's go out and have some adventures, if you haven't figured that out already. And honestly, there is this great song by Sarah Groves. It's a little short song. It's so great. And every time I hear this song, I just think, yep, there's that attitude. And I've determined in my life that I am going to be the antithesis of this attitude, if at all possible. I printed out the lyrics to her song, To the Moon. It is very small on the page for some reason. And as I'm reading this, just remember, this is what Phil absolutely does not want to do in his life. This is a song by Sarah Groves called To the Moon. It was there in the bulletin, we're leaving soon, after the bake sale to raise funds for fuel. The rocket is ready and we're going to take our church to the moon. There'll be no one there to tell us we're odd, no one to change our opinions of God, just lots of rocks and this dusty sod here at our church on the moon. We know our liberties, we know our rights, we know how to fight a very good fight. Just get that last bag there and turn out the light. We're taking our church to the moon. We're taking our church to the moon. We'll be leaving soon. This is Phil Ferrand, and I have made it home.